I'm Ryan Dombrowski.
I'm the Ninja Fat Man from Doom Ninja Podcast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network,
just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We are a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopX Cast.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental. PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome, everyone. This is PopX Casts, episode number 54, coming to you on this Easter Sunday, April the 16th, 2017. Lindsay Badger, how was your Easter?
It was action-packed and full of tons of family fun, and I am a little bit tired. I'm ready for my bed is calling my name right now.
I kind of feel you. I'm pretty tired, too.
Sugar high has worn off, and yeah.
We ended up making a spiral ham for dinner today, and I'm just like, I'm in a food coma, actually. I think I'm in a food coma is what it is.
You're going to be in a food coma for like a week, the way you were telling me all the delicious food you made. My goodness.
It was good, and it's only for two people. Okay. I know I got nothing for that, but happy Easter, everybody. We hope that you are doing amazing and you've had a good weekend coming into the Easter weekend. And we want to send our healing thoughts and love over to Mr. Austin Burke. He's not feeling well this weekend, and we hope that he gets feeling better very soon. But yes, we have a really cool episode for you this week, something we've never done here on PopX. So it's going to be very interesting, but we have a really cool lineup of news and all that cool stuff. There's a lot of geeky stuff that's happened in the past 2 weeks, so we're going to do our best to get you caught up. So, hey guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us live on PopX.live and Geeks.live chat room. Come on over and hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
If you missed episode 53, the Power Rangers origin story and film review, make sure you go check out our official website at PopXcast.com for this and other great shows from PopX Cast.
I'm doing that. I'm trying.
Don't remember, I'm Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky yogi.
Yes, yes. So I was trying to do my Zord.
Is that the Power Rangers moves there?
I got nothing for you, but yeah.
Well, yeah, check that episode out, but also make sure you go over to Google Play and iTunes after this show's over.
Mm-hmm.
Click the subscribe button and catch up on all the other shows from PopX Archive. And while you're there, we'd certainly appreciate you showing us some geeky love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review as well. You know, Joe, since the Power Rangers movie has come out and we've been talking about a lot of Power Rangers, they have now brought some of the Power Rangers onto Netflix, and now my children are being exposed to the culture, and my daughter's all about Power Rangers right now.
Oh, man. Well, that's really cool, because I was about their age when I first was exposed to the Power Rangers, and 93 I was, I believe. And so I would have probably been, what, like 12? No, probably like 13, 93. So I guess I was a little older than your kids.
I was a little younger than that, but I won't tell you.
It's okay. Yeah, you're it's all good. So let's go ahead and move right on into the news. Don't go nowhere. We will be right back.
extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live, right here, on PopXCast.com.
And first, we want to give a huge shout-out to Mr. Luke, hanging out with us over in the PopX live chat room. Luke, how are you doing? Be sure to tweet this out and send it out on your social media and your Facebook accounts. And
with all the friends that live inside your computer.
All the crazy little hobbitses that live inside your machine.
Hobbitses,
yes. But so moving on with the news this week, we had a crazy week here in Orlando. If you have been in a bubble or hiding in a cave, you have missed probably one of the most phenomenal events that's happened this century. We're talking about Star Wars Celebration. And the first trailer for Star Wars The Last Jedi did release on Friday, and it was truly an amazing trailer. I had to watch it like 5 times to soak everything in. So fans have been waiting for this footage for a long time now. So it's an exciting moment for Star Wars universe. The Last Jedi is a highly anticipated 8th chapter in the Skywalker saga. It comes 2 years after the record-breaking box office, The Force Awakens. That was a true hit, and many believe that the new film could even top its predecessor. Star Wars kept up with the moment between movies as the franchise hit a home run with its first standalone film, Rogue One. It was really good. Before episode 8 is released in episode 9 is released in 2019, a movie focused on the adventures of young Han Solo will hit theaters. Star Wars The Last Jedi, from writer and director Rian Johnson, is in post-production now and slated for December the 15th, Christmas time, 2017.
Oh. Okay, Joe, actually watched this live on the Facebook when they released it. So they had all the cast had not seen it before. Mm-hmm. And so they all got to see it together with the fans in the convention hall all at the same time. And it was like this little magic moment. You could feel the chemistry coming through on the live feeds. So that was really, really cool to experience that. And then, of course, I got to share the geeky news with you. And I think I don't even remember how many times I've watched this trailer, but I know it's just a teaser. It's not, doesn't have a lot of plot points, but dang, can we just hurry up and get to Christmas time already? Because
I have no idea where that's coming from, but that's okay. But there's so many reasons why when Luke Skywalker at the end of the trailer said, the Jedi must end, how many questions did that raise where you're like, what did he just say?
No, I was like, is he switching sides? Is he dying?
It's really interesting.
That's been like
you say
the big question, and they still leave that back and forth. Yeah, who knows? He could even switch over and then die. There's so many combinations.
Honestly, I think that Luke Skywalker is in a point where he has actually transcended beyond light and dark. He has become the Force. And this is just me. This is me as an actual person sitting back. He's not a gray. And if you don't know what Star Wars lore is, a gray is a person that's neither light nor dark, but in the middle. So they're called a gray Force master. But also I think Luke has actually become so much involved and in embraced by the Force that he is beyond what it is to be a Jedi. And I was actually having a really in-depth conversation with a friend of mine who is a huge Star Wars enthusiast. And he kind of agrees along with what I'm saying, too. I think that the word Jedi is going to pass away, and he's going to be training Rey in just the pure essence of the Force. Right.
Well, they did confirm that Jedi means plural and not singular, so there is that to chew on, too. Well, I do have a little bit more Star Wars news. We can't spend the whole hour talking about the
theory. We can easily, though.
We could, but that's not this week.
I know.
Okay, so ahead of the Star Wars Celebration convention premiere, fans are getting a little treat. Lucasfilms will be rolling out a series of original animated shorts under the brand Star Wars Forces for Destiny that celebrates the inspiring stories of iconic heroes from a galaxy far, far away. Starting this summer, Lucasfilm will be will begin rolling out the new shorts, which feature a slew of familiar faces. Heroes like Princess Leia, Yin Erso, Rey, and Ashoka I always screw up her name. How do you say it right?
Ashoka Tano.
Ashoka Tano. Thank you very much. Sorry, Star Wars fans. will lead in their own shorts. Sabine Wren from the Rebels will also get an individual short, and the first short is set to debut at Star Wars Celebration, and it will be titled BB-8 Bandits. The story will follow Rey, who is voiced as Daisy Ridley, and she avoids a trap set by Tito, who covets BB-8. Covets BB-8.
Covets, yes.
Yes. According to Lucasfilm, all of the shorts will be considered canon to the Star Wars franchise, and some will riff off stories ultimately cut from the previous films. For instance, the short Beasts and of Echo Base will be based off of some of the deleted scenes from The Empire Strikes Back.
Interesting. So the key word that you said in all of this is that these episodes and these shorts will be considered part of Star Wars canon, which means that they are in the continuity of the Skywalker legacy. Mm-hmm. Now, exactly. So that's pretty good. That's pretty a big thing, especially coming that we're getting side stories and more in-depth parts of the stories that we already know and have come to love and know.
But it's not just the old stuff. It's not just the new stuff. It's also the old stuff, too, that they're going to be referring to the whole timeline, not just parts of the newer stuff. That's really cool.
We got Luke in the chat room. Of course, Michael Thomas is hanging out with us, and Mr. Michael Murray. We got the Battle of the Mics. I'm telling you, man. It's really awesome. Well, moving on with news, mergers aren't uncommon in today's business, but rarely do two giants the size of Apple or Disney end up in a conversation. Mm-hmm. Even rarer is the possibility or the opportunity for companies of that size to even join together. But the latest from Wall Street points that out as a potential outcome, investors have increased their expectations that Apple could seriously consider acquiring Disney.
What?
We're dropping some crazy bombs right now. So if Apple can pull off the money together, a takeover of Disney worth around $200 billion, making their combined worth around $1 trillion. The combination would give Apple access to Disney's massive wealth of content, including their core characters, live-action remakes, and Marvel and Star Wars divisions. It would also allow Apple to get involved in their theme park empire, as well as Disney Ventures, ESPN, and ABC Television Network.
I don't know how I feel about this information.
So Disney acquires Marvel, and they acquire Lucasfilm. In the process, Apple and Disney are in talks, according to Wall Street, of Apple acquiring Disney.
Yes, so that means, yeah, Apple would own Star Wars, Apple would own Marvel, Apple would own Pixar, all that. I don't know if that's a good idea.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I need more information, and this needs to become a little more real.
I must acquire input, must need input, input needs.
Yeah, I mean,
Johnny number five.
But it's that's so weird.
I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's a weird combo. I mean, I know Disney's super techie, so I mean, in addition to the entertainment stuff, but I don't know. Well, we're just gonna leave that one right there because that's a big bite to chew on. I don't even know
that, that's a lot to take in. I can see pros and cons of that. I mean, if Apple gets their hands on Walt Disney World and Disneyland theme parks, especially Shanghai and Tokyo, that could be an interesting combination because Apple, of course, is technology. Disney in their own right is technology.
I'm leaning towards the I don't like this side. It just doesn't feel good.
Something's not jiving with me, so. Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what? We want to know what you think about it. So leave us a comment below and let us know what you think if Apple acquires Disney. What are your thoughts and what are your concerns opposing this? So.
All right. Well, we'll just leave it there and we'll move on. Deadpool 2 has been searching high and low for the right actor to play Cable. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah. A time-traveling mutant soldier from a post-apocalyptic future. Man of Steel actor Michael Shannon almost landed the role, and Stranger Things star David Harbour almost was on the short list. Well, he was also there. He was almost there. He was there. there were also unconfirmed rumors that 20th Century Fox was having conversations with Russell Crowe and Brad Pitt. Josh Brolin has landed the role of Cable in Deadpool 2, and he'll star in the sequel opposite Ryan Reynolds.
So, get this. Josh Brolin is not only Cable, but he's also Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
He's two crazy dudes in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's kind of crazy. How can two guys? That just blows my mind. It's like Chris Evans being Captain America and then the Human Torch in Fantastic Four. How does that happen?
And pull it off where the fans don't lose their minds over it? Yeah.
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 That's good. But, you know, I got to say, Josh Brolin's got that edge and that grit to him. As we see this screen capture of him from Sin City,
yeah.
I think it he's got what it takes.
I think so, too. He better rock it, though, and bring it because the fans...
Oh, the fans, yeah, the fans can make or break him. But at the same time, we got to remember he is Thanos in the Infinity War coming up. So mm-hmm. It's a big thing. But moving along, I'm still wrapping my head around Apple and Disney. I just can't move past Apple and Disney. I'm just like, what the heck? All right, I'm going to try. So, boom. Studios today announced that everyone's favorite time-traveling duo from San Dimas, California, are back in Bill and Ted Save the Universe, a new series launching in June from the creative team behind Bill and Ted Go to Hell. And this time it's intergalactic. Writer Brian Jones and artist Bacon are reunited to continue Bill and Ted's adventure. So Derek Charm will provide covers, and Stranger Things are afoot in the cosmos as the Wild Stallions are pulled to the intergalactic conflict between a group of fans looking to spread the word of their music and a rigid alien law enforcement officer who thinks their music does more harm than good. And
wow.
This is okay. Coming on the heels of an actual, they've been rumors of another Bill and Ted movie. Yeah, this is actually comic. This is comic stuff.
Oh, comic stuff. Okay. Well, yeah. That makes sense because they're trying to kind of start rippling the waters because of the it's not even really a rumor. It was confirmed by Keanu Reeves that he has been in talks of doing another movie.
A third one.
Where they're actually their characters are older and, you know, they're doing something to go back and save the world from something crazy. But that means that that's probably starting to get green-lighted to me.
It sounds like usually when you start seeing stuff like this, production companies releasing comics earlier, you're starting to see things show up in pop culture, like mm-hmm. action figures, new comic stories. That kind of means that the studios are already on board with something, and they're going to probably green-light the project at some point. So,
keep your ear to the ground on this topic because I have a feeling we're going to be talking about it again pretty soon.
And I'm a huge Bill and Ted fan. I'm a huge Bill and Ted fan. So
I love them. They're crazy.
But let's see here. Lindsay Badger, what is our last news of the week?
Our last little bit of news. Legendary comedian Don Rickles has died at the age of 90. That's the sad news. Usually we start the show with the sad news.
Yeah, I know.
Folks, keeping you on your toes. All right. The honorary Rat Pack member passed away on April 6th at his home in Los Angeles. Don Rickles' career in entertainment spanned more than six decades, and he was a regular nightclub stand-up comic in Las Vegas, even into his late 80s. The comedian, who was sarcastically nicknamed Mr. Warmth, which is funny, was most known for voicing Mr. Potato Head in the Toy Story films. Though a fourth installment in the Toy Story series was announced long ago, pre-production of the film has yet to finish, and Rickles passed away before he could record any dialogue for the project. It's unclear what will happen to the character with Rickles' passing. Since he's such a beloved character, despite his crankiness, it's unlikely the director, John Lasseter, will decide to remove Mr. Potato Head altogether. And I bet you they'll find another actor that sounds darn close to the guy to get him.
Pretty close that they will. Disney is the masterminds of finding people to mimic other people's voices. Yes. You just use, I'll use Kermit the Frog, Jim Henson's Kermit the Frog as an example, because there's probably 15 people in the Walt Disney World community that can voice Kermit the Frog and do it 100% accurate. Well,
here's another perfect example of any of the classic, the Disney classic movies that become huge. They eventually become a TV series, and the main actors do not voice the main character, and they sound pretty darn similar.
Yeah.
So there is that.
Well,
this week.
It does. And Mr. Rickles, thank you so much for an amazing career of laughs. I grew up watching Johnny Carson, and many times Don Rickles would be on Johnny Carson. And yes, I'm old enough to actually have seen Johnny Carson on television. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
But that's when I first was exposed to Don Rickles, and as a child, and I loved the dude. He was a great, charismatic individual and an amazing comedian.
And I just love that Mr. Potato Head, so they better keep him around.
Yeah, it's funny, as that, you know, we actually started watching the Toy Story saga, going through one and two, and now we're up to three, and so it's really interesting. It's kind of happened around the time of his passing that we were
watching. You'll have to check out the Halloween special too. While
you're
going through all the jazz.
So, Lindsay Badger, this week's topic, as we dive into this, it's going to be really interesting, and this is something that it's a little close to my heart. Something that we've been. It's something. Look at that! Oh my God, that is just that's crazy, fans. Yes, that is. We are talking about the Incredible Hulk, ladies and gentlemen. So,
you guys, now Joe's going to get a little giddy.
You might see a giddy side of me that you've not seen in quite some time, and it's just really interesting. I want to ask this question in real time, and I'm going to see what the response is. So how many people in the chat room, and how many people, Lindsay, do you know? How many Hulks do you know of right now without even looking at the notes or just thinking out loud? How many different versions do you think there are?
I know of three.
Okay. And which ones are those?
I don't even know the backstory of them. I just know that there's three different colors. There's red, gray, and there's green.
Okay. That's good. Now, here's something interesting. Most of the people that think about the Incredible Hulk and that are not really dove into the world of pop culture, they only think about probably two colors, green and gray. Those are the two that kind of resound out in pop culture. Now, if you were to walk up to somebody on the street and you were to ask, hey, what color is the Incredible Hulk? They're going to give you what color?
Green. Green is the most marketed one.
And of course, we know the guy behind Incredible Hulk, that is Dr. David Banner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Bruce Banner.
Had his lab accident. And,
yeah. You know. So, but here's something that you may not know. Leading us off on our show topic, we're talking about the many forms and manifestations of the Incredible Hulk since his creation on May 1st, 1962. Mike, I freaking love that graphic. So Ooh. That's right, Hulk fans. This might be the Jade Giant. Get this, on May the 1st, in just 2 weeks, will be Incredible Hulk's 55th birthday.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's kind of a coincidence that we're doing this episode 2 weeks before his 55th birthday.
Almost old enough to retire.
He's almost getting there. So we at PopX are doing a tribute show in this incredible honor, no pun intended. So let's dive right in, shall we, and step back a few years before the actual creation of Incredible Hulk. Let's step back before 1962 to some versions of the Hulk I'm pretty sure you may not know about. So leading us off on this list of somebody keep count, because I have no idea how many there's going to be. So maybe Michael Thomas or Luke or one of the guys over in the chat.
Fingers of your toes. There's quite a few bullet points here.
So leading us off. All right. So I got some days on these too, and I had to do some research too, because I'm more familiar with 1962 post. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really understand that there were some before that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby actually tried to create creations of the Incredible Hulk. They actually were epic failures. So number one, 1960, and we're going to call this guy the Might Hulk. And he was later renamed Gruton. Now, Stanley and Jack Kirby thought that they struck gold when they created the Hulk in 1960. Only this Hulk isn't the one that we all know and love today. Tired of other scientists teasing him for his short stature, scientist Albert Poole created a giant suit of robotic armor named, quote-unquote, the Mighty Hulk. Once Poole completed the suit, he climbed into the Hulk armor and locked himself inside. Unfortunately, Poole left the keys to the start the armor outside and realized the armor wouldn't unlock when turned off. So Marvel would later change the name of the armor to Gruton to keep fans from being confused that the robot is actually the real Hulk later after 1962. So as you guessed it, Gruton didn't last very long, and Stan and Jack Kirby literally went back to the drawing board to revise their creation. So number one, so this is
because that was horrible.
So he's a scientist, and he locked himself in his suit, and the key was outside. And now he's permanently locked inside of his armor forever.
Okay.
My only question is: I wonder if he invented a waste facility recycling component of this. All right, so we're not even going to dive down that rabbit hole.
Get him out of there.
I don't know, man. He's going to be swimming in feces by the time he's done with it. But this is the first time in Marvel that we actually see a entity labeled Hulk. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's why we're doing this. All right, so let's move up just a few more months. In early of 1961, this is probably around springtime, and Lee and Kirby recycled the Hulk name for yet another monster who appeared in Journey into Mystery. Now, we're talking about the Living Hulk, Zenmu. Zenmu, the Living Hulk, was an alien criminal resembling as a cyborg version of the Abominable Snowman.
Oh, is he furry?
Yes.
Oh,
Zenmu, Zenmu is furry. Yes. So he resembled basically, he was an Abominable Snowman who crash-landed on Earth. While Zenmu successfully enthralled mankind with his telepathic powers, his attempts to escape the planet failed. Zenmu would later telepathically take over a carnival before becoming a recurring foe of Hulk, quote-unquote, Bruce Banner. Zenmu was renamed Zenmu the Titan, still occasionally appears in the Cosmic Marvel book. Stan Lee would later rename Zenmu, quote-unquote, the Titan, as not to confuse readers. So he's, look at that, it says Slaves of the Hulk and his telepathic powers. That's kind of creepy.
At least he got two chapters out of the deal.
Yeah, that's about as far as he got, though. But so as you can see, the furry Bigfoot version of Hulk didn't latch on very well.
Got like three fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on, this is going to be the last incarnation of Hulk before we actually get into Bruce Banner. 1961, we're talking later in the year, probably around September, around the fall season. 1961, there was another Hulk. And this one was a true epic. It was a disaster. It was called Glop. And no, not content without using the Hulk name of two of the other monsters, Stanley and Jack Kirby created a third character in Tales to Astonish, this time as a blob of a character. The third Hulk was a gooey orange movie monster who would step out of the movie screen and to terrorize audiences, only for Lee and Kirby to reveal that this, too, was part of the same movie. Lee and Kirby repeated the gag over and over, with Hulk stepping out of multiple screens to scare multiple theaters, with each of his revealed to be a part of a film, quote-unquote. At the end of the... I know, it's pretty funny, actually.
I'm dying over here. Yeah, this is ridiculous. Yeah.
At the end of the Hulk's short story, Lee asked readers to write in for feedback about the mind-twisting tale. As the Hulk renamed Glop in reprints again, it must have been a dud with the readers. So I could actually, yeah. So
it's like the infinite window within a window within a window thing.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's nasty. It's, well, I mean, you gotta think about it though, because many renditions of the Hulk had to be refined before they would actually.
Don't we have other monsters that look similar to this, like the Blob or whatever that looks?
Well, there's actually one in DC. There's a character in DC that Batman faces. His name is called Clayface. And Clayface can take the form of anybody or anything. So
But
all right. Well, we're going to dive in to 1962.
Yes.
The Incredible Hulk, a.k.a. Bruce Banner, the man. Okay. It's a tale as old as time. What are we going into? The Beauty and the Beast here, Joe? All right. Tale as old as time. Scientists create the gamma bomb. Scientists test gamma bomb. Scientists save stupid teenager from gamma bomb explosion when he wanders into a testing field. Scientist is irradiated with gamma radiation and transforms into giant gray monster. Bruce Banner was the first of the modern superhero Hulks, a walking poster child for the dangers of nuclear radiation. Capable of nearly unlimited strength, the Hulk's physical power increased the angrier he got. Over time, the Hulk and Banner became separate personas, often at odds with one another, while uneasily sharing a body.
Mm.
Yeah, kind of conflicting. Dr. Yeah. Jekyll,
Mr. Hyde,
kind of stuff going on there. All right, then we continue in 1962, Rick Jones Hulk. Rick Jones was the teenager responsible for turning Bruce Banner into the Hulk. An early sidekick of Hulk, Jones gained his own Hulk powers after he fell into a chemical bath intended to cure Banner of his Hulk powers. Unlike Banner, Jones's transformations would only occur at night while he slept. Jones eventually lost his Hulk powers, but he later became A-Bomb, a blue version of the Hulk's longtime enemy, the Abomination.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of got like a mini blue Hulk guy.
Well, actually, A-Bomb is actually a robotic type, cybernetic type, weird looking dude. And so that's what Rick Jones ended up becoming
When Rick Jones went to sleep, he woke up as a Hulky guy.
Yeah,
he was like the same color and everything.
If you see him here in the, see this graphic? So you got the gray Hulk. So the gray Hulk is Bruce Banner. But the long-haired Hulk, that's Rick Jones.
So he was kind of green.
Yeah, he was green. More leaner than the beefy Hulk.
Yeah, he's not nearly as bulked up. He needs more protein powder.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to fast forward a few more years into 1980. Savage She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters. Now we got a girl Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
She-Hulk has the first spin-off version of the Hulk. A cousin of Bruce Banner named Jennifer Walters. Walters received her Hulk-like powers after receiving a blood transfusion from Banner when an enemy of her father's shot and seriously wounded her. Unlike Banner, She-Hulk retained her intelligence and control of and controlled when she could Hulk out. Because girls got that brain power, you know.
That's it,
right?
Yeah.
And she became a member of the Avengers and the Fantastic Four. Dang, girl, double duty.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Walters was also a successful lawyer, and many of her solo comics focus on her legal career defending clients with superpowers. I like this girl. She and I could be best friends. This is awesome. See,
isn't that convenient?
I'm digging it.
Yeah. And so She-Hulk was born. So she was fatally wounded. And
bell-bottoms, though.
I know, man. Dude, you can tell this is definitely right out of that, like coming out of the 70s into the 80s. Yeah, definitely that you can see that flare. Pretty cool. Well, you know, so we've got a little bit of taste of some of the styles and some of the different genres of Hulk. Now, as we get into the 80s beyond, you're actually going to start to see, especially when we get into the 80s and 90s, Marvel Comics becomes extremely creative in ways in which they can adapt the Incredible Hulk. So that's what we're going to get into now. So you've learned some of the history, some of the backstory. Now you're actually going to see many of the versions that are pretty much in comics today. And so from 1962 to 1986, Gray Hulk. Now we saw the picture of Gray Hulk in the first issue back in 1962. Well, how did he get green? How did he go from green to gray and all that stuff? Well, this is really interesting. The Hulk's early appearance showed his skin color as gray. However, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby changed the Hulk's color to green due to a poor ink quality. They wasn't getting the color that they really wanted, so they changed his color. And that's pretty much how Hulk became green to gray. Gray to green. Using the same chemical bath that gave Jones his Hulk powers, the Hulk regained his original gray form and a new personality. The Gray Hulk was more intelligent, a little bit physically weaker than his green form. He was also crueler and more manipulative than either Banner or the Hulk. Taking the name Joe Fixit, the Hulk moved to Vegas and became a crooked casino enforcer. Very interesting. Yes. So he's smart. He's cunning. And he knows how to get his way. And he became a crime lord. In 2007, we also get Scar, who became Son of Hulk. Now, this is where we're getting into the modern age. Scar is the son of Hulk and Kyera, an alien princess from the planet Scar, whom Hulk married during the forcible exile from Earth. After an explosion killed Kyera, Hulk blamed his former allies and returned to Earth to revenge, not knowing he had left behind a son. Scar followed the Hulk to Earth with a huge sword and mystical stone powers and much of Hulk's strength. Scar would train with Bruce Banner himself and helped the new Avengers defeat Norman Osborn's Dark Avengers. He is often referred to as the Barbarian Hulk. Look at that. Yes.
Cool. Okay, yeah. So they named their son after the planet his wife is from?
Scar is the son of Hulk. His planet, Scar, whom Hulk. The planet was, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken.
That's pretty cool.
It's actually really interesting. You know, there's a huge tie into this, into Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Really?
Yeah, in the Guardian, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer where you see Hulk burst through the wall and he's wearing the armor? Mm-hmm. That's actually the planet Hulk where Scar came from. It's a huge tie-in. So they're going to give a little bit of taste of Planet Hulk and Guardians of the Galaxy. Even
I'll go back and watch that after the show.
It's pretty cool. Refresh. So next one up, we got 2008. Marvel decides, well, we've got a gray, we've got a green, let's introduce a red. And so this is pretty cool. So we got General Thunderbolt Ross. Now, General Ross, as we know, is part of the film part, and he's one of Incredible Hulk's long-going foes in the comics. So in the late 2000s, Marvel introduced a mysterious Red Hulk who carried a massive gun, killed with abandon, and had all the strength and power of the original Hulk. After a series of ridiculous adventures, the Red Hulk fought Galactus and punched out the Watcher at one point. Readers discovered that the Red Hulk was none other than General Thunderbolt Ross, the Hulk's oldest foe dating back to 1962. Working for a group of the other Hulk foes known as the Intelligentsia.
There we go.
While Ross was initially a villain, he helped Hulk defeat Intelligentsia and became member of the Avengers and later the Thunderbolts. Yes.
He looks like he's got a little... He looks like Hades with the flames flying off of him.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of scary.
A little bit scary.
All right, so we're going to get into some modern-day stuff. 2008. All right, Savage She-Hulk, Lyra. A new Savage She-Hulk called Lyra appeared during Marvel's Dark Reign storyline. A daughter of Hulk and the villain Thundra from the future... Lyra traveled back in time to mate with Osborn and save her people, the Femizons.
Mm-hmm.
Osborn's evil ways and greasy Brillo pad hair disgusted Lyra, and she decided to help the original She-Hulk fight Osborn and his cronies. Unlike her father, Lyra's strength increases when she's calm, and anger causes her to become weaker. It's a little bit of...
Yeah, the calmer she gets, the stronger she gets. It's interesting how they
probably does a lot of yoga, meditation. All right, so we're gonna skip ahead a year, 2009. The Red She-Hulk, Betsy Ross, another addition to the Hulk family. The Red She-Hulk was Betsy Ross, Bruce Banner's longtime love interest. After dying at the hands of Abomination, Intelligentsia resurrected Betty and gave her the same powers as her father, the Red Hulk. As the Red She-Hulk, Betty helped the Hulk and her father defeat the Intelligentsia, And she later joined the Defenders until the Hulk recently cured her of her powers.
Yeah. She was in probably maybe a year. She lasted about a year. Then she just couldn't handle it anymore, and Bruce cured her of her.
Do you think they'll have any nods in the Defenders series to She-Hulk?
It will be awesome. It will be really awesome.
So that'd be so cool.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So fast forward to the future. Hulk 2099. So it sounds like it needs to be a Dr. Evil voice there. Yeah.
Dr. Evil.
2099. Those who read The Many Faces of Spider-Man will be aware of Marvel's 2099 series, which saw key Marvel characters reimagined in an alternate futuristic universe 100 years from now. Hulk also got the same futuristic treatment in his Hulk 2099 series. John Eisenhart is a studio executive for Lotus Land Productions, researching a dangerous cult that worships the now dead Hulk of the past. Realizing that the cultists intend to create their own Hulk with a homemade gamma bomb, John alerts the police, who then proceed to kill several members. Feeling guilty for the slaughter of the cultists, John enters their inner ranks and inadvertently becomes Hulk 2099. Unlike the conventional Hulk, John is able to transform into Hulk 2099 at will, and does so to battle enemies and take revenge on annoying office workers. That's nice, right?
Yeah, right.
Hulk 2099 also features huge indestructible claws and fangs capable of tearing through hardened steel.
Dang. Yeah, look at that. Look at his claws and feet and stuff. I mean, he looks more like a lizard than he does an actual...
Well, just having that power at will is just scary. Yeah,
and that's one thing, too, that makes him so much more different than all the other his predecessors, is he can control his transformations at will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty awesome. Yeah. So let's move on forward now. We're getting into some more of the, as we like to call, the secondary Hulks. Now you've got some of the main key players out of the way. Let's talk about World War Hulk. When the Illuminati sent the Hulk into outer space, they hoped that he would find peace. But they never expected he would return with an army at his back, the Worldbreaker, and his warbound challenge of heroes of Earth in a 6-issue event written by Greg Pak, and with art by Mr. John Romita Jr., that is correct, son of Infinite artist and penciler for Marvel, John Romita Sr., featuring explosive battles of all-out action. And so World War Hulk was kind of a one and only type individual, and he comes back, and it's pretty crazy, the whole storyline, but he's uniquely drawn in such a way that he's definitely different than all the other ones.
Man, if you grew up and your dad was involved in comics, wouldn't you be inspired to
probably
be a part of the comics world?
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, and that's the interesting thing about John Romita, is that he drew some of the most classic characters like Captain America in the 50s and 60s. And then his son comes along in the 80s and 90s, following right in his footsteps, right out of art college himself. And his father was the ultimate. His
kind
father...
of reimagined the characters a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, his father drew some of the most iconic, you know. This right here is a John Romita Jr. original. I mean, it's classic, and that's his style. That's just how he drew. And but anyway, moving on, The Incredible Thing, what? This is Age of Apocalypse. This is that storyline, and this is kind of a one-shot storyline. In an alternate reality where Bruce Banner never became the Hulk and mutants ruled the world, the human Banner was a member of the Human High Council, the ruling body of surviving human population. However, he longed to become a mutant in order to escape being a second-class citizen. Caving into a moral low ground, Banner sold himself to one of the horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, you might... just pause for a second. The Horseman of the Apocalypse, if you've seen X-Men, Age of Apocalypse, that's the same individuals that we're talking about. Apocalypse is Four Horsemen. In order to experiment on mutants and eventually himself, the results were a thing. A gray Hulk variant Banner could revert between at will.
Wow. Whoa.
So he finally, yeah. And very interesting storyline on that one. Hmm. Now we're getting into something even more bizarre. And we're diving even further down the rabbit hole. Guilt Hulk. Now, existing within the mind of Bruce Banner is one of the most destructive and dangerous Hulks of them all. Guilt Hulk. When therapist Doc Samson helped Banner to explore his mind in order to reconcile the Gray and Savage Hulk personas, the hero encountered a previously unknown Hulk version. This persona is the summation of all guilt that Banner has left and felt in his life, and originally manifested in the form of his father, Brian Banner. Here, Guilt Hulk tried to overpower Banner and all the other Hulks and all the different versions in order to gain control of his mind and body and manifest in reality, but was stopped by their creation of the Merged Hulk.
Wow.
And the Merged Hulk is we'll be talking about here in just a second. And the last on my list here is Infernal Hulk. Well, on this list, at least, Infernal Hulk is a unique one. Look at this guy. He looks more like a gargoyle than he does.
Because he's got those horns sticking out.
Exactly. In a reality where Bruce Banner and Hulk were separated into two bodies by magic, we're talking Doctor Strange type magic, Hulk ended up being cast into hell. Corrupted by the demonic beings he encountered, eventually converted Hulk into a demon. Devoid of any sense of good, Infernal Hulk escaped from hell and attempted to kill his creator, Bruce Banner.
Hmm.
Yes. Very interesting stuff.
Nice. Yes. Well, my list isn't done yet, so we're going to keep on going.
Keep going, girl. Keep on rolling.
Okay, so it's Kla-Hulk?
Kla-Hulk, yeah.
Kla-Hulk. During the Axis crossover event, a spell to defeat the evil Red Onslaught, and we're not going to explain the Red Onslaught on this.
It's a long one. Yeah.
That'll be another episode. Yeah. Okay, so during the spell to defeat the Red Onslaught, we turned every hero and villain in the area into his or her inverse.
Inverted form.
So all the heroes being villains, vice versa.
Yeah.
All right. The heroic Avengers became a group of dastardly villains. Vile villains became good-hearted heroes. And Doctor Doom became an altruistic leader in the search of redemption. The erratic and violent Deadpool became a peaceful Zen. Oh my gosh, could you see that happening in your life?
No, no.
And the Hulk became Kla, which...
pretty on the nose. Pretty much on the nose, yeah.
Yeah, pretty on the nose. Affected by the spell, typically the rage-filled Hulk was overcome with sadness until he underwent a sudden change in becoming the murderous Kla.
Yeah.
So it was basically like if Eeyore got really mad and threw a temper tantrum, that's Kla.
Yeah, if Eeyore's like Bruce Banner, so if Eeyore is like, I'm going to go steal some honey and kill some people and Christopher Robin. You know, it's just really weird. Yeah.
That's okay. That's funky. All right. So there's an aboriginal Hulk.
Yeah.
The House M. To control his dark side, Bruce Banner goes into seclusion. Setting up shop amongst the Aborigines of Australia, they help him achieve peace with himself by detaching from society. Until the new totalitarian mutant government threatens the safety of his new friends. Then all bets are off as Hulk teams up with a terrorist group, AIM, to conquer all of Australia. This story is a lead up to the much lauded Civil War series.
Mm-hmm.
A little precursor there.
Exactly.
All right. Then we got another version. Man, Joe, are you adding up all these bullet points as we go along?
I'm hoping somebody in the chat is doing that, yeah.
All right, so we have Skulk, an Amalgam Comics.
Yeah, Amalgam Comics. Now, this is not Marvel or DC.
Okay, so this is a different little world. Okay, so Amalgam Universe was a publishing mashup between the comic book powerhouses Marvel and DC, literally. Each publication took different heroes and merged them with characters of their own. Skulk was what happened when Bruce Banner was running tests on a gamma bomb. in the desert, and Solomon Grundy showed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The bomb exploded, accidentally fusing the two, so when Banner became angry, he turned into Grundy. Skulk is the name of the creature deemed itself with, so he named himself that, I guess, in the comics. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
And then the last bullet here on my little section is Maestro, the future imperfect. 100 years in the future of the current Marvel Universe, nuclear war laid waste to much of the world's population, both human and superhuman. Driven insane by radiation, Hulk morphs into the tyrant Maestro. With the intelligence of Bruce Banner and the malevolence of a man bitter by his lot in life, Maestro rules the world with an iron fist until he is defeated by the all-time traveling modern-day version of himself.
Very interesting. So we have Skulk, we have Aboriginal, we have Maestro. Maestro is one of the more popular known ones. Definitely that storyline. Yeah, I know. Skulk is the most interesting one for me, the one on your list, Lindsay, because Solomon Grundy, if you don't know who Solomon Grundy is from DC, he's actually one of Batman's big villains, and he is a living zombie. Solomon Grundy is a living zombie. So you think about that. That's pretty interesting. So we're entering the final home stretch. So hopefully somebody in the chat room has been keeping score.
While you're reading, I think I'm going to go add them up.
Okay. All right. So now when you were talking earlier about we were talking about Guilt Hulk earlier. Remember that where there was this entity inside of Banner's mind where he was guilty, and the only cure for him was to actually form the Merged Hulk. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about now. Merged Hulk, a.k.a. Professor Hulk. There came a point where Bruce, the Savage Hulk, and Gray Hulk were all fighting desperately for control, and Doc Samson tried to help his friend by looking into his mind and helping Bruce confront his emotions over his mother's death by his father. In his mind, Bruce's mother convinced the three incarnations to merge together to cure him, but in reality, a new incarnation was formed that was the idealized version of Bruce. Although this new incarnation is sometimes referred to as the Professor, though itself is the real Bruce Banner, and that he was cured. Well, not really, technically. Doc Samson knew that this was just a temporary fix, and he tried to help him with more therapy. So that this is, now we're talking about Merge Talk. This is probably in my era. We're probably talking around 1996, 97, 98 in that neck of the woods. So, mm-hmm. So next one on my list, there is actually a zombie Hulk, believe it or not. And there is
a zombie Hulk and maybe a vampire Hulk to show up.
This is really interesting. The entire Marvel universe is pretty much infected with this virus. Does that sound familiar? Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. So infected by the zombie Fantastic Four, the virus negatively impacts Hulk's regenerative powers. He retained his strength and invulnerability and gained a craving for human flesh, which triggers his transformation from zombie Bruce Banner to zombie Hulk. In Hulk's form, he gorges to the point where his stomach partially bursts when he reverts back to his human shape. That's just nasty right there. Oh my God, that is nasty.
That's gross.
Yeah. We'll just leave that one right there. And yes, we have green, blue, red, gray, and we're talking about blue right now. This is Captain Universe, the Blue Hulk. There is a Blue Hulk, okay? When the Microverse was imperiled by merging the Earth's 616th dimension caused by the reawakened world demons, Wayfinders descended the Arcturus Ran, and Earth's Sorcerer Supreme, Doctor Strange, found Wayfinder's tomb, and the sword in the Star Emperor empowered them both to become a merged Captain Universe. They used the Unipower and halt Earth's merging with the Microverse, because if they merged, heaven knows what would happen, and were restored to their own bodies when the crisis ended. When a crazed military officer named Jamie Custer attempted to launch a nuclear missile, the Unipower transformed Bruce Banner Hulk into Captain Universe, Banner's other self. The Hulk manifested itself as a separate entity, and his natural enmity to Banner led to the struggle between the two, but Banner finally destroyed the missile and neutralized the fallout. When the Unipower left Banner, he and Hulk reemerged with each other. And so there you go. So for just for a short time, he was Captain Universe.
Wow.
And last but not least, last on the list, Lindsay. Can you believe it? We made it.
This is the last Hulk of the night.
Last one of the night. Old Man Hulk. And we're going to call this one Hulk the End. Just look at him. He's just, he looks horrible.
Is he brown? Is it green or is it brown?
He's brown. He's getting ready to fight Old Man Logan there. That's Old Man Logan.
Oh, okay.
Alone in the last days of Earth, Hulk and Bruce Banner wander the ruins left by nuclear holocaust as two defined personalities sharing one body. The only remaining human on Earth, Banner takes it upon himself to record a video log of being the last of his species and slowly descends into suicidal depression, though his regenerative powers keep him from being able to follow through with it. It's pretty crazy. His whole personality, meanwhile, clings to the life, fighting off the mutated animals and forging ahead despite the hopelessness of it all. So he's trapped in this world. He can't kill himself. He can't escape from it. And he's the only one left on the earth.
Can you imagine? Like, I'm so done. I just want to be over with it. And then you just kind of hang out in limbo forever. That's so sad.
It is very sad. And it sucks. But, you know, that's pretty much it. And so these are just some of the ones that we were able to scrap up. There are many versions. If you include the Marvel Cinematic, we've got Lou Ferrigno, who was the first human to ever play an Incredible Hulk. Then you have Eric Bana from 2003. He was the first, I guess you would call modern day Hulk. And then we had Ed Norton in 2008. Of course, Mark Ruffalo today is now the modern day Incredible Hulk. So there isn't really 50 Shades of Hulk if you're counting. And the
24 is the magic number tonight, unless I just forgot how to count. I'm pretty sure there's 24. You guys can check.
That's about right. Yeah. So, yeah. So there isn't really 50 Shades of Hulk in the Marvel Universe, or is there? So there are some honorable mentions, of course, as we'll talk about. If you're talking about in the modern age of comics, we have Amadeus Cho, and Amadeus Cho is the modern age Bruce Banner. So he kind of has a faux hawk as an Incredible Hulk. Just go with that one. We also have a robot Hulk that was controlled by Dr. Doom.
I was waiting for you to come up with like a hipster Hulk.
We have a robot Hulk that's controlled by Dr. Doom. That was an honorable mention. That was had several storylines. Also, we just mentioned Lou Ferrigno, and just want to give him props. Look at that. Yeah, buddy, that's what I'm talking about. That's my Hulk.
We're just going to round up the count tonight to about 30 Hulks.
And of course, last but not least, I want to give a huge prop. He may not be a Marvel comic character, but I want to give huge props to the immortal Hulk Hogan himself. Yes. Yes. I know he's not green, but he is in his prime. He was the idol of a generation and body slammed Andre the Giant multiple times at WrestleMania. Yeah. He is forever the Hulk and founder of Hulkamania. So there you go. So,
well,
Lindsay,
Joe, I know that we're going to be wrapping up the show up real quick, but I have a question for you. I know that the Hulk has a lot of meaning in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What of all the Hulks that we talked about tonight, do you have a favorite? Like, which one is like your idol of sorts that you would think? Because I think reading through all of these, I relate mostly with the 1980s She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
I think that her and I's personalities are totally click, and I could relate to her as a character reading through her stuff.
I would have to say for me, we didn't even make a bullet for him, but I would have to say the Lou Ferrigno variation of the Incredible Hulk for me would speak. And the only reason why I say that is before I had a comic book in my hands, I saw Lou Ferrigno on television, and that was my first exposure to this green superhero. And so when I think of the Hulk and I think of my childhood, I think of Lou Ferrigno. And, you know, of course, this version of Hulk was mindless and just grunted, you know, that's all he did. But it was just the fact that this normal, nerdy, small, yeah, little 5-foot guy could transform into this giant 7-foot
That's right.
Goliath.
As Luke says over in the chat, Lou was the real Hulk.
Luke,
he wasn't animated.
You
he
get was props not for that, Luke.
Digitally and, you know, digitally enhanced. He was the real Hulk.
And I've said it before, Luke, and you'll probably agree with me. He's the only actor ever to portray Hulk in a human form. He has forever been replaced by CGI.
Right.
So, no, there would probably never be another one like that. But
well, I had to know which one was yours. So good answer.
Thank you. Well, Lindsay Badger, this was a really fun episode, and thank you so much for hanging out with us and just rocking out and geeking out.
Your vast knowledge.
Yes.
I always enjoy tapping the geek brain.
There's a lot in here, and sometimes it needs to come out, and it's PopEx and episodes like this that really comes out. And, you know, that kind of leads me to another really good point. If there's a character or if there is a topic or a origin story series that you want us to cover, send us an email and let us know, or tweet us at PopExCast on Twitter or Instagram and let us know. You can send us a DM direct message also, and who knows, maybe we may cover it on a future episode of PopEx. And if there's a character that you love, like, you know, we can easily do the multiple versions of Superman, as there is many versions, or Batman. So if there's something in particular that kind of hits home for you, like the Hulk does for me.
You're a character that you want to know more about. I'm all about those.
And it doesn't have to be comics either. It can be pop culture in general. So keep
can we
in
dive
mind.
Into the history of the Ewoks?
Let's dive into the history of Voltron, shall we? No. So anyway, that would be awesome. So as always, guys, if you see something exciting on the shelves or at your local comic book shop or in theater, hey, 2 weeks. Guess what is in 2 weeks? Free comic book day.
I know. It's
oh, my God. So if you have a comic book shop near you, you might want to get ready and go there on that Saturday.
Calendar right now. Set a reminder. Tell your friend.
Save the date. It's going to be good. And that will be May the 6th. Get ready
Do
for it.
It.
Do it.
You right, will so. Be happy.
So if you see something exciting on your shelves or at your local comic book shop or in the theaters or around geek culture in general, let us know on social media using the hashtag GeoPopX. If you use the hashtag, we could very well use your post or image on a future episode of PopX Live. So hashtag YoPopX.
Yes, show us your geekiness. We like to share. All right. Also, we are part of an amazing network called the Gona Geek Network.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Okie version of saying it.
Gona Geek.
Gona Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, make sure you head over to GonaGeek.com and check out some of the amazing podcasts on our home network. And there's some pretty cool ones over there. Mm. You guys can check it out. All right. Be sure to also follow us on social media, like Joe said a minute ago. Make sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest. Everything is at PopXCast. We love to hear from our listeners and send all comments and suggestions to popxcast@gmail.com. And for all future and past shows, make sure to check out our official website, popxcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Lindsay Badger at LR Badger all over the interwebs. If you guys want to check me out, you can see all the cute kids pictures. All my cutesy pie baby pictures.
Drop you on the DMs.
Drop me on the DMs.
Drop you on the DMs. Yes. So also I am Joe Burke at Rodcav. Well, actually now I need to change that. It is Joseph. Oh. Yeah, I know. All right. It's yeah. Joseph Burke Arts. So it's JOSEPHBURKEARTS. Joseph Burke Arts across all platforms and social media on the internet. And of course, hats off to amazing team PopX, Lindsay Badger. Thank you, Miss Badger, for holding down and doing all that voodoo that you do so well. And for Mr. Mike Ippolito for the slides and graphic love and just being freaking amazing sauce. We love you, Mike.
Yes.
Really? Oh, my God.
I love all of the chocolate Easter bunnies.
That's.
I also want to give a huge shout out to our chat hanging out with us, Luke, Michael, both Michaels, Michael Murray, Michael Thomas, and Luke, always faithful listeners hanging out with us every single week. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us and keeping the conversation going over there.
Absolutely. And remember, guys, PopX is now bi-weekly. We will not be next week, but we will be the week after. And guess what? We got a really cool episode coming up for you. Visit popx.live for full schedule shows. But coming up on April the 30th, at the end of the month, episode number 55 will conduct with Iron Fist. We will be talking about all things Iron Fist, Netflix's new TV series. Hopefully you've had some time to binge watch and catch up on Iron Fist. There's some pros, there's some cons. We're going to talk about it all and what we thought about it. And we're going to dive into this one and hopefully get you ready and up to speed for Netflix's Defenders coming in the fall. So some really cool stuff around the pipeline. Lindsay Badger, Micah Polito, from all of us here at PopX, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we'll see you next time right here on PopX.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.